Hallelujah.
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 It's coming. It's on the way. Don't watch. Don't worry. It will not delay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the anointing just kicked in a different way than I expected. Whoa. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. It's time to rejoice. It's time to rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stand on your feet if you would. Praise your Father. Raise your right hand. Grab your Bible, your device, or just your spirit, and whatever, and hold it up and say, thank God. I'm a believer and not a doubter. The Word of God is alive in my spirit. It's alive in my soul. It's alive in my body. My faith is working because it's God's faith. I'm walking in love. Faith works by love. Love never fails. The victory is mine in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to two or three people, tap them on the shoulder and say, you have victory in Christ. Hallelujah. Then you can find a seat. Then you can be seated. Praise God. Then you can have a seat. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise your Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I've seen you travel. I've seen you walk. I've seen you listen, and I've heard you talk. But the Word of God would grow up within you. If you only allow to move a couple of things aside, you'll see victory in the areas you've proclaimed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't He? I said, God is good, isn't He?
All the
time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for the Word.
Yes.
Thank you for the Word, the living Word on the lips of believers. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. All right. God is good. Praise you, Father. I love this atmosphere. I just really, really enjoy this atmosphere. Hallelujah. It's been a while since I've had an opportunity to share in this setting. I appreciate the opportunity. Hallelujah. You just get aware of things. I was sitting last night sipping a cup of tea in the rocking chair I was rocked in as a baby. I was just sitting there just listening, just fellowshipping, just listening to Father. Hallelujah. It's nothing like staying in the presence of God and just sitting there and fellowshipping. He's not a stranger.
That's right.
He's not to be a stranger to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Somebody asked me recently, I've had two people ask me recently, and how do you do this? How do you walk by faith? How do you walk in victory? How do you come back from disappointment? And it was very simple. I just said, look, you know, you've got to get in this Word. When you get in the Word will get in you. This is not rocket science. God made it very simple for us. When you spend the time, when you spend time with Father, when you spend time with Holy Spirit, when you spend time with Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells within the believer in Christ Jesus. It's just spending time soaking up the fellowship, soaking up the Spirit that's within you and allowing it to flow out of you. Because there's so many needs in this world. We're not to squander it on our own lusts and our own selfishness, but to speak it forth. Whether it's received or not is not your responsibility. It's our responsibility to put the word out there. Put the living word from the lips of you, a believer, into the hearts and lives of people. Hallelujah. It's a living word. There's nothing back there. There's nothing back behind you to go back to once you've understood and tasted of the Spirit of God. There's nothing back there. But there's everything to look forward to. Everything. Today I want to talk to you. Dan had no idea we were going to talk about this, but I want to talk to you about, if you could put that first slide up about the podcast, because that will explain what we're doing. We're going to talk about the direction and journey of faith. The direction and journey. This is something the Lord ministered to me, and when I first got it, I thought, this just seems, this, you know, people have heard this. You know, the Lord impressed upon me, I need to share this. Let me just share this. We're just going to hit some highlights this Sunday and maybe next, just some high spots. But the more in-depth lessons are on this podcast, and you can take a picture of this. I'm in the digital age. I take pictures of stuff now. But you can write it down or whatever if you're interested in looking more in-depth. So it's on episodes 39, 40, 41, and then 42 will come out next week, the week after that. And then if you're looking it up on your podcast app, it's called The Word Works with Bert Midget. Or you can just go to bertandjoe.com, and it's on the homepage. It's right there, a link right to it. So that's one way, that's a couple of ways to get to it. If you can't get there, ask Brian Claxton. He's fooled around with it, trying to figure it out too. But anyway, that's how to get there. Okay? And so if you want more in-depth in what we're going to do, then you can go to that. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit within us, your hand on us. We thank you for revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit to flow far beyond the words that I speak into the hearts and lives of these, your people. We thank you for 1 Corinthians 14:26, so that, Lord God, all of us have the opportunity to share and minister in the body. Thank you for the different perspectives of the word that we can grow from. Thank you, Lord God, that we will grow up in you in all things. And Lord God, we thank you, sir. We give you all the praise and honor and glory for the Holy Spirit, the true teacher. I get myself out of the way, and we thank you for the teacher within all of us who will minister to us now. In Jesus' name, everyone said in agreement.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to the person beside you and say, the word works. Hallelujah. It does. It does. Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's start at verse 35 from the King James. A new King James. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. I love the King James. It says great recompense of reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Verse 39. Do you have that? Yep. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I just want to look at a couple of verses here, and we're also going to look at Acts 16 and maybe try to get into Philippians 3 just a little bit. Acts 16 and Philippians 3. But right now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 36. Let's look at verse 36 in particular. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may or you will receive the promise. After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. Or we could say it this way. After you've done the will of God, you need endurance so that you can receive the promise. All I did was just switch them around. When you do the will of God, you need endurance. You need patience. You need to stand and not be moved. When you have endurance and you're doing the will of God, you will receive the promise. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, that's what the word says. That's what it says. Endurance. So that after you've done the will of God, Amplified Classic says, fully accomplish the will of God. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to know what the will of God is for my life. For the last few months, I struggled for a while. I struggled trying to understand, well, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Nobody in here has ever had that problem, have you? Well, the Lord ministered very clearly to me. Live by faith. Well, I've been living by faith in all sorts of ways for a long time, but I mean, live by faith. Live by faith. Do the will of God, you'll receive the promise. Now go to verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The uncompromisingly righteous shall live by faith. If you have a sin-conscious mentality, it's difficult to live by faith. Why? Because you don't know that God loves you. When you have a sin-conscious mentality, it's always, you're not understanding that the mercy of God is there for you to receive what God has for you. If you're developed in sin-consciousness, I was developed in sin-consciousness. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, no, no. I'm the righteousness of God walking in His grace, and so are you. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, believe it or not, it's true. You're the righteousness of God walking in that grace. In that grace. In God's riches at Christ's expense. In God's righteousness at Christ's expense. So the just shall live by faith. You're not going to live by faith until you understand righteousness. But when you understand righteousness as the ability to stand in the presence of the Father God without the sense of guilt, fear, or condemnation, and the ability to stand in the presence of the defeated one without the sense of guilt, fear, or condemnation, when you understand that, faith works. It works. It works. Your faith is working. It's working in you now. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Praise God. I want you to do something for me. I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, I want you to inhale and hold it. Not too long. Some of you might turn blue. We don't want to do that. But then you can exhale, okay? Now just listen. One, we're going to inhale on the count of three. One, two, three. Now exhale. From that breath forward, until you arrive in heaven, you have the opportunity to live by faith. Live by faith. Not just one day, the remainder of your life. The just shall live by faith. That's what I want to do. I want to live by faith. I want to know the direction that God is leading me in. When I know I'm the righteousness of God, I can live by faith because I can approach His throne boldly to find grace and mercy and to help in time of need. Plus, I can take my rightful place as dominator over the God of this world. We are to control the defeated one, Satan, and he is not to control you. You are to control him. So I want to ask you two questions today. Number one, what direction are you traveling? Look at the person beside you and say, what direction are you traveling? Acts chapter 16, if you would. These are questions I've had to ask myself. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10 from the New King James Version. Now when they had gone through, and if I mispronounce these words, just pretend I'm saying Gowansville or Mill Spring or something, okay? Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, Polk County, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Everybody say forbidden.
Forbidden.
Everybody say forbidden by the Holy Spirit.
Forbidden.
To preach the word in Asia. And verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Everybody say the Spirit did not permit them. Isn't that interesting? They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to do something, and then the Holy Spirit did not permit them to go a certain place. Do you notice that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word? Isn't that interesting? In Asia. To go to Asia, or was it to Bithynia? Now, verse 8, and passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision, verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. When I read that verse, my body responds to that. I think my spirit's doing cartwheels. I don't know what it is. For years, I have read that verse. And the reason I believe it is because this happened to me in a different way. And I'm sure it's happened to you that God speaks to you in dreams or visions or through His Word, by His Spirit in some way, an angel, whatever. But a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. In a dream, in a vision, in the night rather. And now, after he'd seen the vision, immediately, how soon?
Immediately.
We sought to go to Macedonia, concluding. So obviously before this, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know the direction that God was leading them in. They tried to go here. They tried to do this. The Holy Spirit forbade them to do this, didn't permit them to do this. But Paul rested. He went to sleep. And when he got his mind quiet, it stopped being a priority with him and stopped worrying about it. He just went to sleep. He had a vision. He got direction. When it's not a priority for you, it becomes a priority for God. Quote, unquote, Ryan Mills. When it's not a priority for you, the stress, the worry about what does God want me to do? What's to do next? When it's not a priority for you, it becomes a priority for God. Oh, I love that. That's rich. That's rich. So, verse 10. Now after he'd seen the vision, immediately we did something. We sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach. Paul is living by faith. I had a dream years ago. I was working for Don Horton and I had this dream. I woke up and I knew what was going on. I had an idea what was going on, let me put it that way. In the dream, I saw myself standing in a pulpit in a small sanctuary looking back. I guess it held about 100 people maybe, and I was looking back. And I thought, I've seen this somewhere. Where have I seen this? Now, on the podcast, I go into a whole lot more detail, but I'm just condense it right now. But this is what happened. I went to that book the next morning. It was written by a lady who had gone to the Canadian Arctic and had ministered to the Eskimos. She was tough. In fact, her Eskimo interpreter and translator said, Kay, you're tough. You're tough as a boiled owl. It's pretty tough. If you had to eat owl, I guess. She was tough. And let me tell you, in this book she had written called God's Fire on Ice, Kay Gordon, she had written this. I was turning through the pages the next morning because I'd read this book and I went, look, there's that sanctuary. But oh my gosh, the picture was from the back looking forward, and in my dream I was in the sanctuary in the pulpit looking back. You think God was trying to tell me something? And that's where he put me. That's where he put me, in an Eskimo Bible school and preaching out from that same pulpit. To an Eskimo interpreter. You need to see clearly the vision God has given you. Just see clearly. Everybody say, see clearly. God was very precise in that vision or that dream that I had. We were traveling with Gary and Donise up to the Shenandoah area in Virginia. We were on the Shenandoah skyline or something like that. It's kind of like the Blue Ridge Parkway, but an extension. And we were driving along. We stopped at a gift shop. So Joanne likes Christmas ornaments. So she decided, remember I'm talking about seeing clearly. So she talked about, looked at these Christmas ornaments, and they were like felt. Weren't they kind of felt? And she picked one up and it was a deer. And she said, honey, across, anytime your wife says honey, it echoes across the, but she said honey and it echoed across the gift shop. And she said, honey, they have ornaments. They have deer or chipmunks. And the lady behind the counter heard, I guess, part of this, or thought my wife was dense, or thought I didn't know what the difference was. And she said, and looked at her and said, honey, that's a deer. The chipmunks are over there. And as when I told this story before, one person said, oh, deer. And somebody else said, oh, chipmunk. You need to see clearly. I could see it was a deer. I knew the difference. Wait and let God show you what to do. Don't push it. Don't push him. Say, here I am, God. Send me. Send me. Verse 11. Back up. I'm sorry. I'm in the Message translation. That night, Paul had a dream. Acts, verse 9 and 10 from the Message. I'm sorry. Hang on there. Good. Very good. Paul had a dream or a vision. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Somebody's calling out for the Spirit of God in you. Somebody's calling out for the from their spirits, from their heart, from their soulish realm. They just need help. They need God. They need the Word. They need life. They need healing. They need deliverance. They need something. And they're you pass them every day in the grocery store, or on the highway, or whatever. They're calling out. Many of them are calling out. They're calling out to God, and God will relay the message to you. Hallelujah. If you'll just listen. Just listen. Come over to Macedonia and help us. The dream, I loved Eugene Peterson, the way he writes some of this, that God inspired him. The dream gave Paul his map, his direction. We went over at once to get things ready to cross over to Macedonia, across this body of water. I love what Eugene Peterson says. All the pieces had come together. We knew now for sure that God had called us to preach the news, the good news, to the Europeans. And thank God they did. Verse 11 from the King James. I'm switching around translations. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course. Everybody say straight course. To Samothracia. It's spelled differently in the Greek, I think. And the next day came to Neapolis. A straight course. A straight course. Straight course. Eric, are you here? Come on up. Verse 11, Acts 16, 11 from the 20th century King James. It says, this, I don't know if you have that or not. It says, therefore, casting loose from Troas. Everybody say, casting loose. Who in here has ever sailed a boat? Let me see your hand. Anybody else? Great. So you know something about sailing. I learned to sail when I was 8 years old or 11. I don't remember which one. But you know, when you're tied to the dock, I'm the boat, Eric's the dock. When... So Eric's the dock and I'm the boat. And I'm tied up to the dock. All right? I've got to cast loose or cast off from the dock. Folks, some of you are worried about which way to go and you're not even in the boat. It's time to get in the boat. It's time to not worry about fear. And what God has for you is more important than the fear that's trying to attack you. Somebody write that down. I want to hear that again. It's so simple. But so I'm tied up. I need to cast loose. But fear has a grip on me. It's pulling on me. Kelly Copeland said this, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I'll say it again. Fear, I want to make sure I say it right. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. If I don't ever get in the boat, I'm never going to sail out of the harbor. So some of you need to untie it from fear or from the dock, cast off, and don't look back. And if you have to do nothing but sit in the boat and sit in the harbor, just put the sail up and wait for the wind. Just wait for the wind of the Spirit. It'll come. It comes. Why? Because you're saying, God, I'm set free from all that. The weight that so easily besets me. I'm not tied down. Thank you, Eric. Let's give Eric a hand clap. That was... I'm not tied down. Are you getting anything? So some of you need to cast loose and sail out of the harbor from that harbor where it's safe and it's comfortable. Message is putting out from the harbor at Troas. New American Standard Revised Edition says, we set sail from Troas, making a straight run for Samothracia. A straight run. We did something. A straight run in sailing. If you know anything about it, running with the wind is a wonderful way to sail because you're not having to do much of anything. That means the wind is directly behind you. The currents and the tides, apparently we're working with them, and they're just put it out. Maybe you've seen sailboats where they have the beautiful spinnakers, the beautiful balloon-looking, I'm trying to make colorful sails out front. Usually that's on a reach or a running. You're running, and you're running with the wind. One folk writer wrote a song, The Downhill Run. That's what it feels like. You're just running with the wind. You're out there. I used to have a boat that we'd sail it wing to wing. I didn't have a spinnaker, so we'd put one sail on one side and one on the other and just sit there and relax. It was the easiest way to sail. There were no headwinds. Now, Paul and Silas faced headwinds when they got on shore. because there was a lady that walked around saying, "These are servants of the Most High God." And then they ended up in prison. I'd say that was a pretty much of a headwind. But what happened in prison? They began to do what? I thought about Amy on this. They began to praise God. But Amy, they didn't praise God because it was a formula to faith. Well, we got to praise God because, you know, we've said it, do it, receive it, tell it. We've done all these faith things. We've made all our confessions. We believe we received, we have the answer when we prayed. We've done all this. And now, oh yeah, we got to praise God because that steals the Avenger. Oh yeah, you're going to do that, Silas? Yeah, but why'd you get me in this? I don't know. That's okay. So we're praising God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They weren't doing it because they had to. They did it because they wanted to. In the midst of suffering, I want to praise God. In the midst of challenges, I want to praise God. My spirit wants to. My mind, my body, my head may say, "Well, forget this." Too bad. Too bad. Yes, I've got authority over you people, new things. I've got authority over this. You have authority over your body. Yeah, look at your hand. So I've got authority over you. Why? Because your spirit man's the real you, and it's speaking the word of God to it. How many of you love me?
Yes.
You've got to. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. All right. So we did something. We did something. We made a straight run. We made a straight run. They were in that. Remember when they got in that prison, though? I wrote this down. When your shackles are loosed. Remember all their, praise God, all their shackles were loosed. I wrote this down. When your shackles are loosed, the shackles of those around you can be loosed. When your shackles are loosed, the shackles of those around you can be loosed. Praise God. All right. So what direction are you heading in? Are you on a journey of faith, following God's direction, or your own? Have you turned your life over to God? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Well, we can find out because your words locate your faith and your journey. Now the second question. The first question was, what direction are you going? Number two, are you on God's journey? Oh, they wrote that down. Thank you, Pam. Are you on God's journey or your journey? Very simple questions. We can get really, I don't want to say bogged down, but that's what can happen in Philippians chapter 3 from the Amplified Classic. If you read it, it's just so many words. So I just want to look at a couple of verses here today. Are you learning anything? All right. The main thing is, are you encouraged? Are you on God's journey or your journey? Philippians chapter 3. We'll do verse 3, 7, 8, and 11. Just skip through. For we Christians are the true circumcision, worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God, and exult in glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ, and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges, physical advantages, and external appearances. So the key here is this. Paul's saying, I'm putting no confidence in who I am. Who I am in myself. We need to get rid of confidence in ourselves. You've heard this said, at the center of pride is I. At the center of the word pride is the letter I. And then Diane Ward, there you are, she shared this in a recent ladies' meeting, because I was listening to the recording, and she had heard a Bible teacher or someone say, at the center of anxiety is I. A-N-X-I-E-T-Y. I don't want pride. I don't want anxiety. So I'm driving down the road. I'm driving from Tryon to Columbus, and I'm just driving, and I'm praying. I said, God, those are good, but what about something positive? And it just rose up out of my spirit. Faith. At the center of faith is I. F-A-I-T-H. That means I'm in the center of faith. I'm in the middle of faith. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm in the middle of faith. Look back and say, I've got faith. And my faith is working. Don't give up on your faith. God's not giving up on you. If faith is the servant of the believer, and you put the... I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me stop. I won't go there. Yeah, I am. If faith is the servant of the believer, and you got your faith out on something, don't stop faith from working for you.
That's right.
Faith's not giving up on you, and God's not giving up on you. I didn't think that'd go over too well, but that's okay. Think about it. Verse 7. But whatever former things I had, they might have been gains. Everybody say gains. Gains to me, I've come to consider as one combined loss. Gains, many gains, one loss for Christ's sake. Verse 8, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of what? Knowing Christ Jesus. Just knowing Him. If you don't know the direction, if you don't know if you're on God's journey or yours, know Christ. Get together with Him. And that's something I wanted to do all my life after I got saved, is get to know the Father. Just getting to know Him. Knowing the Christ Jesus my Lord, and progressively and deeply more intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving, recognizing, understanding, don't you love the Amplified? More fully and clearly, for His sake I've lost everything and consider it to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, or dung, we know, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One. So I've gone from worldly gains to all loss, and now to one gain, and that's Christ. I may win Him. One gain, Christ. So dung, I was listening to Andrew Womack. We were up in Charlotte recently, hearing him a few months ago, I guess. And he began to talk about this. He said, Paul thought of his accomplishments. All of his accomplishments. And he said this, think about your biggest accomplishments in the flesh. Paul thought of all these accomplishments and counted them as equal to dung. That word dung, I looked that up there, rubbish, dung in the original language. It means good for nothing except to be discarded. And Andrew made this statement, and some of you may be offended. I'm sorry about this. But he said, if it's all dung, you might as well frame it and put it on your wall. All the natural accomplishments you've thought about, put it on the wall. And I looked at my wall and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I got hanging on my wall? My natural accomplishments. But I like to read obituaries. That may seem odd to you, but I do. For some reason, I like to see how people were portrayed after the. If you have to write one, like I've had to write two, it's interesting to see how people are portrayed. How did they live? We talk about their accomplishments that they accomplished in the natural. I wasn't going to approach this topic today, but I'm going to. When they write your obituary, if Jesus tarries, what will it say? Oh, he was a member of this club, or she was a member of this church, or she did this, or he did that, he did this. Think about Smith Wigglesworth. How would you have liked to have written his obituary? Now, we hear a lot of things. See, people have been writing his obituary for years. In books and all these things. We've heard so many stories. I don't know which one is true. In fact, if he came back, he probably wouldn't know which one was true. But most of them, I'm sure, have merit to them. Now, when I think about Smith Wigglesworth, a great giant of faith, who was gruff and rough with people because of his boldness, I think about a couple of things. I think about people who were raised from the dead. Praise God for that. I think about him hitting people in the stomach with cancer and them getting healed. But what about two maybe lesser known facts about Smith Wigglesworth? Do you know he had a children's ministry? How would you have liked to have been in his children's church, Paul? Wouldn't that have been fun? Today, kids, we're going to talk about getting somebody healed. Come up here. Are you sick? Pow! You're healed. That would get you all your attention. I'm only 6 years old and I got healed of cancer, Daddy. His children's ministry, he got a pony and walked it through town and kids would want to ride on it and lead them right to church. How about another, maybe lesser known, maybe you know this a little better, is that at a season in his life, he determined he was going to win somebody to Jesus every day. And one night he was, as I read, he was at home and he went out and Polly, his wife, says, where are you going? He says, I haven't fulfilled what I promised God to do. And went out and found some guy on the street and won him to the Lord. Yet we think about the spectacular when the supernatural was going on in his ministry every day. Don't worry about what God's got for you. Just be open to it. Just be open to what God has for you. That's the key. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Verse 11 says that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while I'm in the body. Mind renewal, mind renewal, mind renewal. Getting my mind renewed to the Word. So, write this down. We're in the world, but not of the world. System. We're in the Word. When we're in the Word, we are of the Word system. We're not of the world system. We're of the Word system. So I want to choose Christ's life, His direction for my life. When I get to the end of this, and you get to the end of this, do you want wood, hay, and stubble that can be burned up in ashes? Or do you want well done? Some of you are going to hear well done. I just don't want to hear, well, you're done. But we got to live by faith. To live by faith, I'm not trying to get God to do something. It's not a matter of will God do it. It's simply a matter of will you receive it. Amen. Do you know you were healed before you were born?
Yes. Yes.
What direction are you traveling in? I'm trying to close this, Jerry. You hear me, Jerry, in El Salvador? Colossians chapter 1, that was a joke he and I had. He said, you and Scott have seven closings each. I said, I know. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We'll close with this scripture, 9 and 10. For this cause, this is a prayer, one of Paul's prayers. I hope you're praying these. I try to pray them daily. It's important. It's not bragging, but that's humility. I want this in my life. I'm thanking God this is working in my life. I'm not begging God for it. I'm thanking Him for it. For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Everybody say knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In wisdom and spiritual understanding. Just hold it there if you would. For the Amplified Classic, it says, full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will. And comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. That's what I want in my life. I want to know His ways for my life, His purpose for my life. Remember the four spiritual laws? Remember that little book going around years ago? It says, God has a purpose for your life. It's really true. God has a purpose for your life. The will of God. I want to know the will of God. Remember what we started off with in Hebrews chapter 10? After you've done the will of God, you need of endurance so that you may receive the promise. Endurance. I need to know what your will is, Lord. I've not really addressed this with a lot of people, but I'll share this briefly. Joanne and I resigned from leadership in this church. It was an awkward time for us, needless to say. God had spoken to us in January of last year when we came back from the beach, and we couldn't hear the voice. You ever had that happen? It's like something was wrong on the inside. Not wrong with the church, wrong with us. And we had to get a hold of what God was saying. There was Joanne described it this way. She said the anointing left to do that. And so finally, when we got up enough nerve, we prayed about it. Sometime in the summer, August, July, sometime, we went to Scott and talked to him about it and talked to the elders about it. Scott was on the phone the other day. He said, you know, when this first happened, I didn't understand. You know what my response was? I said, I didn't either. I don't either. I just knew I had to take the step. And I didn't know Joanne was going to come along with me. But when we did, I knew the transition would begin. You see, you got to take a step of faith. You've got to get in the boat and loose, cast off from the dock. You've got to when God is leading you. If you stay there too long, you'll miss what the Spirit of God's doing for that point in time. You've got to be obedient. Let me throw a weird thought at you. Can you handle something weird? You don't have to receive this. Just weird. This is Bert. Okay? This is a side note. What if Mary wasn't the first woman to be asked to carry the Christ child? I know it's weird. I can't prove that by the word. That's why I said it's Bert. What if somebody else had been disobedient and not done that? Look what she would have missed out on. I had that happen to me when I pastored a little church. I knew I wasn't the first person to be asked. You don't want to miss out on what God is asking you to do. You don't want to miss it. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, what pleases God? Faith. Be fruitful in every good work. That's my desire. I looked across the table at someone a while back and I said, I'm 61 years old. How old are you? They said, I'm 71. I said, when you're 81 and I'm 71, I don't want us to look at each other and say, you know something? We missed God. For 10 years, we didn't follow what God said. I want to do what God has asked me to do, not what you expect me to do. And I take heat for that. I've taken heat for it the whole time I've been in the ministry. I've had people tell me that, oh, you should be doing this. You're gifted in this, and you should be doing... I said, psh, I love you. I'm nothing. With Christ, we can do all things. But we have to follow what's in here, whether people understand it or not. My parents thought I was weird. I know I'm weird. I don't care. I'd rather follow Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Some of y'all are weird too, just want to admit it. Growing in the knowledge of God. I thought about Dan Allen. I always have to try to do something in honor of Dan. The complete Jewish Bible. Multiplying in the full knowledge of God. The full knowledge of His will. What He desires for me. See, that's living by faith. Pleasing God with what He's called you to do. What did Mary say? She said, be it unto me according to your word. God calls and equips whom He calls.
That's right. That's right.
He will give you the gifts to accomplish the call on your life. And everybody in here's got one. The gifts are to flow through you for others. I haven't talked to them about this. I'm going to ask them to do this or jump out on their faith. I'd like for Dan and Scott to come up if you would. We want to pray a prayer today. I want to pray a prayer over you. And they're your leaders. I just want them to stretch your hand out, if you would, one of y'all stand over here and one over here, it doesn't matter. And just, if you would, just reach your hand out toward these people. I just want to pray a simple prayer about the will of God for your life. And if you are in a place where I have talked to 5 to 10 people in the last couple of months, if you're in that place where you just really want to know the will of God, what's the next phase, God? What's the next, Dan said this morning, what's the next season? That you'll know. You'll know in some way you're opening yourself up. If you guys would do this, if you feel comfortable doing this, if you just reach your hand out toward these sheep here, and I'm going to pray this. Father God, you receive this. Father God, I pray right now that every person in this room will know your will for their life. They will walk in obedience to that, and they'll walk in faith. Whether it's for their ministry, the ministry you've called them to, for a faith project they've got out there, whether it's for finances or healing or loved ones that they're believing for, they'll walk in faith and be obedient to act on your word the way you desire them to, for their business, for whatever, that they will know the direction they're traveling. And Father, that they will turn this journey over to you for the remainder of their days and breaths on this planet. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
Okay, Bert? If you don't mind, don't sit down just yet. We've had some very effective closing prayer times in the past when we did just what you did, and I didn't get enough of that. Would you come back up? Bert, if you'll stand in front of that section. Pastor, if you'll stand in front of the middle section, and I'm going to stand over this section. And I know it seems like a short service to me, too short. I don't know where the time went, or maybe we're just getting out early, but... I really appreciate that blessing, Bert. And as we prepare to leave this place today, if you would just stretch out your hand again over your section, and we're going to dismiss today with another blessing over you. And we're going to look toward this new season and for these opportunities that you talked about, Bert. Father God, in the name of Jesus, open our eyes to what you have for us in this coming season. As we change from season to season and as you lead us, Father, help us to have our spiritual eyes and ears always open. Father God, don't leave us sitting at the dock. Thank you, Lord, for a tailwind that we can run to where you are guiding us to. Thank you for smooth sailing in it too, Father. Father, we know that the enemy is at work to thwart everything you want us to do in this life. Father, we know that we have the victory through you. We know we have your strength. We know we have your protection and your provision, and we thank you for it. As we prepare to leave this place today, Father God, would you bless and keep each one of these people here, these believers, these followers of Jesus, these who are gathered together today to worship and honor you, Father God. Father, would you make your face shine on them and be gracious to them? More than gracious, Father, give them uncommon favor with man. Give them your uncommon favor, Father God, in every area of their life. Father, would you turn your countenance toward them and give them a new sense of shalom, peace in their hearts and minds as you write indelibly your name in our hearts and minds, that we will be yours, Father, in everything you have us to do. Father, help us to follow you more closely. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, God, that we've never had before. We trust you. Father, we love you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.